This is the Rare Witch Roundtable, episode 3, for April 4th, 2009. I'm a bloke. Welcome to the third episode of the Rare Witch Roundtable, the premier weekly podcast about Rare, Xbox, and the Rare Witch Project forums. I'm Andre, your host, and joining me today, Bottles98, Larry Keller in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Hello, I am currently sick.
Yes, he's sick again. You've been sick a while, haven't you?
Sick yes. Still, isn't he?
Yeah. And that was Gaming Master 2K, Kelvin Getley in Victoria, Australia.
Hello, hello.
Joining us for the first time, Gruntling, Aaron Haslam in Phoenix, Arizona at Arizona State University.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for getting my name right, too.
No problem. It's not that tough. It's good to have you on, too. Obviously, as you've noticed, Gray Jinjo is out this week, and he will next week as well. I will not be here next week either. I'm going on spring break in Florida with my girlfriend, so that'll be a good time, hopefully.
So you're abandoning us to go spend time with your girlfriend?
I know, that's hard to believe, especially on the Rare Witch Project, but it's true.
That's despicable. Unacceptable.
Okay. She's a nerd, too. next week, GM2K will be hosting, so that should be a good time. You guys are always clamoring to hear more of him, so hopefully that will come true.
Tune in next week for more Gaming Master 2000.
Yes, and I believe Gruntling will be here as well, but that leaves one spot open, so we have a couple ideas for who might fill that spot, but we'll let you wait until next week for that one. Anyway, moving on to the news, we only have two news stories this week, and it's kind of one, but it's kind of a big deal. We had a lot of news about Banjo-Tooie for Xbox Live and Stop and Swap stuff, and I know that's insane that we actually have Stop and Swap news, but seems to be true. Couple things. It's pretty much confirmed now that Tooie will indeed be coming out in April, late April it seems, but there are a couple gamer picks released that will be out on April 10th until the 14th, and they'll be available for free. Easter-themed. Guess what they are? Stop and Swap eggs. There are 9 of them. New ones being an orange egg, a peach egg, and a silver egg. They're up on the site, of course, but that kind of confirms Stop and Swap, and it might be in a new way that we weren't expecting before. What are you guys' thoughts?
I was thinking maybe the original Stop and Swap eggs are involved, you know, between the original Stop and Swap implementation that they were mentioned, that was mentioned earlier, and then the 3 new ones will go to Nuts and Bolts for perhaps those blueprint competition winners.
Yeah, I agree with GM2K. I'm just excited to see how the original Stop and Swap was really supposed to work. You know, actually get to see it fully implemented.
Yeah, it's actually very interesting because I think we've known for a while now that the transfer will be complete in this game. But don't you feel kind of like bad about it that now we'll technically know what it is? I mean, we've thought that for years. No? You're happy about it?
Yeah.
I'm not. You know why? Because it's going to be something so stupid. And then we're going to be like, wow, we wasted our entire lives on this thing.
It was just supposed to be a sales gimmick in the first place, though.
I know. Yeah. I guess that's true. He also, George K., said that with the gamer picks, which we now see, and the Easter Banjo-Tooie trailer, we should get a lot of information about it, so who knows? There might be some useful information in the theory section for once. In theory, that is. Anyway, in that same news story, we have the full details on Logs Lost Challenges. The trailer is now up on Marketplace as well as at computerandvideogames.com. Some stuff that seems to be in it. 12 new challenges, 7 new multiplayer games, and the blueprints from the contest that was held on the Banjo-Kazooie website. And what do you guys think?
I actually think my theory with those 3 new eggs is wrong.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm just reading over it, and I mean, why would you win a competition that then requires someone else to buy another game just before your prize gets shown?
Oh, come on, you don't think that they want to... I think that's incentive, that's their idea. They want people to buy the game. That could make sense, actually.
But I don't think they would do that, though. I mean, they've always said before, whether how true it is, we don't know, but they've always said that with Stop and Swap, you know, they weren't trying to sell extra games, they were just trying to put a little bit of more fun in there for the people who did have both.
I actually disagree with that. I think that Rare will sell us whatever they, you know, they're going to try and sell us things. I mean, isn't that their whole point for Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie? It seems like it's for us to appease us, because really, if they tell you, you might have been on the fence about buying Banjo-Tooie again, but if you heard that it's going to have fully implemented Stop and Swap, you know that every single person on the Rare Witch Project is going to buy that game.
I was going to buy it from the get-go just because of the lack of slowdown and everything.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I don't know. I remember, well, Banjo-Kazooie, it has so much slowdown on my machine. I guess it was an HDMI problem, I believe, but, like, that's not, or not HDMI, yeah, wasn't that it?
Yeah, it was a HDMI 1080p problem.
Right, so I don't know about you, but that's a major issue for me. It's just irritating that every couple minutes...
They fixed that, though.
No, I'm saying when the game came out, like, it was clear that it was not ported properly, if that was a problem.
True.
Yeah. Also, I don't know if we mentioned this, it's going to be coming out on April 7th for 400 points. So, we were talking about whether it would be free or not, but I think 400 points is a pretty reasonable... you know, number.
I'd say it's reasonable as well, because we are getting, well, a semi-new arena sort of thing. But the challenges,
yeah.
And we got Klungo, whatever his new game is, so...
But I guess the new arena really isn't a new... Well, it's new for multiplayer, but... I mean, all the levels take place in Testo Track.
Yeah, I would have liked to have seen something different.
Yeah.
I mean, it was... Didn't we sort of reach the conclusion it was most likely going to be, you know, new challenges in existing worlds, so at least they are mixing it up a bit by including it in the Testo Track.
Yeah. Anyone else?
Guess
okay.
Not.
I don't really have anything to add, because I haven't played the game yet. I've only downloaded the demo, so...
What? That's heresy.
I know, I'm like the only moderator that hasn't. I'm probably actually one of the few members who hasn't played the game.
Yeah, well, that's okay. I don't think you're missing much. IMO.
But
blasphemy.
I know. I just didn't like it that much, I'm not gonna lie. So,
I'm one of those weirdos who enjoyed it.
No, it's not that it was a bad game, it's just I've been waiting for, like, what's it been, like, 8 years now. I poured my life into the game.
I think it was... overhyped, you know, you build up your excitement and you have a lot of hopes for it, and then, you know, maybe no game will meet your expectation, because, you know, you're waiting that long expecting something totally different.
Yeah.
Well, that's the problem with Stop and Swap as well. We've all done that for, we've been looking at it for 10 years or 8 years or whatever, and we've hyped it up so much, and now it'll probably be just like, oh yeah, Kazooie just has a new egg type, or if that, and it'll be disappointing.
It'll probably be a big letdown, yeah.
I guess, alright, I know this is going into a territory which I don't think we'd ever get into. What do you guys think it'll actually be?
I have no idea.
I don't have any idea what it could be.
I've just thought about it, and there's, I don't know, Bottles of Revenge, but...
I think that was something different, like, a different mode. I don't think that was something between Banjo-Kazooie and Banjo-Tooie, just Banjo-Tooie.
Yeah. Actually, that's something I'd really love to see. I don't know how they could do that, or if they would, but fully functional Bottles of Revenge would be pretty cool.
That would be good.
I mean, that's something where I would buy the game and not just play it to play it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we'll find out, and next week... you guys will definitely tell us your opinions about it.
Yep.
That's for sure. Okay, we're moving on to the Form Watch segment. So I guess this week we'll start with a newcomer. Gruntling, what's your thread?
My thread is DSi or DS Lite by Banjo Obsessed. Basically, he's just wondering how many people actually want a DSi. And surprisingly, because I know a lot of people aren't really interested in it, but surprisingly, there's a small majority that is probably planning on getting it sometime this year.
I just don't know, like, there's not that much hype, really. It just seems like it's kind of there, you know?
Yeah.
I apparently, people are interested. I don't know. I guess it's just not enough for me to upgrade. I still have the chunky DS. So.
I have the chunky DS and the DS Lite, so, you know, I can't see any reason to go up to the DSi.
Yeah, I'm happy with my Lite.
I mean, really, isn't it just, it's a camera, and then they have the DSi store or whatever.
The main selling point for me is that it has slightly bigger screens. It's not like a huge leap or anything. I think it's a quarter of an inch bigger. And there's supposed to be improved sound quality. But as far as the camera goes, that really doesn't do too much for me.
Yeah. I mean, really, does anybody need another camera?
Really?
I have a camera on my phone. I have a digital camera. It's just like, really, why? It's pointless.
I think the big turnoff for a lot of people, too, was that it didn't have a GBA slot.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely not a good thing. That would be a deal breaker for me if I was actually going to consider it, because I still have GBA games that I would play.
Yeah, same with me. It's just... It can't cost that much extra to stick it in, and realistically, because they've got DS games that do link with Game Boy games, why remove the GBA slot?
Yeah. Pretty much that.
Gruntling, did you have a DS at the moment? Any of the other ones? Or?
Yeah, I have the original chunky DS, and I have a DS Lite. I like the DS Lite because it's like more comfortable to hold and has a brighter screen and everything. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I don't know either. I remember a couple weeks ago I was talking to the guy at my local GameStop and I was asking about it, and he said that they've actually had hundreds of orders, so clearly they're not going to have a problem selling it. And I believe, isn't the DS the worldwide overall best-selling console of all time?
I know it's sold over 100 million, which, and then the PS2 is like 110 million, so I'm pretty sure that it will eventually be the best selling ever.
And that's just insane, though. I mean, come on. How many that? How many people? Okay. Larry, what's your thread?
My thread is Mandolin addresses the project, and the main reason I chose this thread is because of my theory that is not actually Mandolin, but is Gruntling covering for him.
Gee, thanks.
It looks nothing like Gruntling.
I can see some similarities, but I don't know, that's just me. I don't think I look like him.
Of course he's not supposed to look exactly like him. That's the point of the trick.
This is kind of like the greatest day of my life, though, that he actually posted it. But my question is, he never addressed why he just didn't do this before.
Yeah, that is kind of odd, huh?
Like, I mean, there's a chance that he just, like, had this and was just screwing with us, or what? I don't know. Or it's not actually him. Could be that as well. He could have just built a robot. That too.
A Mandobot.
Yes.
It's even better than my theory.
It is. And, you know, he still also manages to be a certain level of creepy that only he can achieve, so I don't know who else it could be. Yeah. Okay. GM2K, what's yours?
The thread I chose for this week is The Tales of a Traveling Salesman, a comic made with nuts and bolts by Kazooie Tui in the Creative Cabin. And the idea is that using pictures that you take within Nuts and Bolts, he puts a story to it. And he's only got 2 pages at the moment, and apparently it's delayed until further notice because his Xbox broke. But I think it has some real potential to go in a place that we haven't sort of seen before.
Yeah, Machinima with Nuts and Bolts. That'd actually be a really good idea.
Yeah, I was thinking that myself. You know, if you take it onto videos and you get a bit more exciting.
Yeah, I know this was something I don't believe we talked about, but I've heard that there was an update to Nuts and Bolts today. Is that true?
I haven't checked.
I think it was on the 31st, but yeah, there has been one.
Yeah. And apparently that allows you to save multiplayer demos, or replays. So that's interesting. I guess we probably should have talked about that in the news, but, you know.
That is an interesting idea, though, to save the multiplayer replays. Does anyone know if you can, you know, specifically go back and view them, or do you have to be certain areas before you can view them? And
I do not know, but I don't know why this hasn't happened yet. So I mean, GMTK, you're a big computer guy, so maybe you could tell me why haven't they just put these videos? And you know, Halo 3 does the same thing with taking replays and all that stuff. Why wouldn't they just put them online? Wouldn't that take the same amount of bandwidth to pull them off a web browser as it would off an Xbox?
I'd assume so.
So it seems like that'd be something that'd be really cool to do, if people could post videos of Nuts and Bolts and show them off to people.
But with multiplayer and recording the videos, wouldn't it just, because everything gets sent to your local machine, then it just records it to the local machine. There's no actual bandwidth to upload it to the internet or anything.
I suppose that's true.
Maybe
not. Yeah, it'd just be an interesting idea, I think, to be able to view that stuff.
Oh, it would be a good idea, and it's easier to do, to make those sorts of videos that we were just talking about. But impossible. Maybe server space as well is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Alright, well, thank you for that, GM2K. Mine is almost just as exciting as that. My thread is, this is what happens when you get bored and call Rare. It's posted by Ebenezer Icefail / Iceman. And basically what he did, he got Rare's phone number and calls them straight up. And it is definitely one of the more entertaining things, as the secretary clearly does not know what he's talking about. But, I'll just leave it at that, and I'm going to play it for you now. So here's the audio from that.
Random search, can I help you?
All right, I'm calling from the Rare Witch Project. I expect you've heard of that before.
No, sorry, can I help?
Is this Rare?
Sorry, it's not really clear line. What did you say?
Is this Rare?
This is Rare, yes.
Yeah, I'm calling from the Rare Rich Project. I believe some of your employees know about it. We're basically a website that dedicated to hacking apart Banjo-Kazooie. I believe you've heard of Banjo-Kazooie.
Right, yes.
Yes, and we're wondering what the answer to Stop and Swap is.
Wondering what?
What the answer to Stop and Swap was.
Someone might be able to help you. Hold
on a moment. What was your name,
sorry?
My name is
Dave.
Dave, okay. Hold on, please.
Hello?
Hi, I'm calling from the Rare Witch Project.
I'm aware of the Rare Witch Project, yes.
We're wondering what the answer to Stop and Swap was. Because we've been hacking apart the Banjo-Kazooie games for the past several years now. If not longer, and we've yet to reach a thorough conclusion on it.
Is this a wind-up?
I don't think so.
You know, the best person to ask would probably be Al. The guy, Alan, you know, Al?
Yes, of course. Yes,
Mandy.
Al, he's a good guy.
Yeah, he's a great guy. I was just talking to him on IM a few minutes ago. I'd go through him. There's going to be some more Stop and Swap stuff to be revealed when we're talking about the release of Tui and the DLC for Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts?
Yes, yes. I was wondering, could I get a free download code for Tui?
I haven't got any to hand right at the moment. What's your screen name?
My screen name?
Yeah.
For what?
For which project? Yeah.
Ebenezer Ice Fail.
Why don't you add me as a friend on Rare Witch Project? You can find me under George K.
Ah, George. George, very nice to speak to you.
Hi.
Okay.
We can take it from there.
Okay, that sounds absolutely amazing, George.
That's brilliant.
Thank you very much for this conversation.
It's absolutely fine.
Bye-bye.
Much appreciated. Bye.
So that was the call, and it was certainly an interesting one to listen to. I just find it kind of funny that the secretary immediately put George on.
The community manager, wouldn't you expect that to be the first stop?
I suppose, but it was just kind of like, I don't know. It's going to get interesting because I suppose I'll announce it now. At some point in the near future, we're going to have him on the show. It just seems weird that, I mean, when you look back, I think I've been, how long have I been on the forums now? It's like my 9th year. And to think that we're actually like just calling up Rare and they're actually aware of our existence, it's almost hard to believe, really.
I remember, 6 years ago or something, and they mentioned us in Scribes, and everyone on the forums just went nuts because they acknowledged our existence.
All right, and now we have several Rare employees that read our forums. It's just kind of interesting. So, hope you guys got a kick out of that. We're going to move on to a special segment this week. It's the history of April Fools on the Rare Witch Project. And this is something that, obviously, it really is our biggest holiday, I suppose. I mean, I don't know any official numbers, but I think it's pretty clear that we get more visitors on that day than most days, for sure. I mean, just the amount of people going in. So, basically, before 2006... we had very simple April Fool's jokes. They were always little articles that said, "We found Stop and Swap," that sort of thing. But, of course, the fateful day, if you weren't aware of this before, this is definitely going to be interesting. April Fool's Day 2006. It was essentially a week-long April Fool's joke, and I've got some really good information on our wiki, which is rarewitchproject.com/wiki. There's some really good information on April Fool's Day, but, I mean, actually, I was not a staff member at that time, but when would you say this started getting planned? Wasn't it January? That is pretty early on, right?
It was. I don't think it was January, but it was pretty early.
Yeah.
Because back then we had that secret forum with certain staff and other members could access.
Yes, definitely something we want to get into, because that was just something that everyone loved. Anyway, step one, essentially what happened is there were several members that joined between March 23rd and March 28th. Celeste Solitaire, which was Banjo's Banjo, he was pretty normal, I believe, right? He was kind of annoying, but... Mandy's alt was Wendy Turnips, which was just one of the better ones. I forget, didn't she put her English through a Russian translator and then translated it back. So I believe her posts were annoyingly difficult to read.
That's amazing.
Yes, I know. That was, you know, I was wondering how you just get that certain kind of fragmented English that Wendy Turnips used, but Icy Guy was GS Hacker Dude, which was apparently registered back in 2004, but, you know, he used it again to post. R Hunter was Silent Assassin. Kaz Debrigal was Hyper Shadow 666. Again, you can tell that these were quality members, but at the time, nobody had any idea what was going on. Ice Mario was Brokeback Dan.
By far the funniest.
I mean, I can go back and read you some of the posts that he made, but they were just insane. Very homosexual, but he denied that in any way. So, definitely go back and read those. Gruntling, you were Ignis Fatis. I guess. I don't... Yeah.
I forget how I came up with that name. I think I was trying to look up for a name that like meant ghost or fake or something like that that no one would get.
Yeah. And then the final one, Gray Jinja, was Hi, I'm Controversy, which his name was very appropriate. So that was kind of the background for it, you know, just setting up these members that were kind of terrible people but would all eventually band together. Step two, there was a fake stop and swap discussion forum. So essentially it was revealed, kind of just like this year, pretty much, a fake stop and swap forum that was saying, we found it, here's the stuff, it's only for staff members, so go away, don't look here. It was intentionally left out so that a few members saw it and would start posting, oh my god, what was that? And, you know, Gray would pretend to get really pissed at these people. But, you know, eventually he opened up the, he didn't open up the form yet, did he? Now that was a while later. But that was, again, just all laying the groundwork. This was the most planned and, you know, elaborate April Fool's joke in Rare Witch Project history. The next day he brought Lament of Grunty back, which was, if you don't know, he is probably the worst spammer troll in Rare Witch Project history. I mean, there's just no way to really describe him. So Gray brought him back from the ban section and made him a super mod, which then would cause havoc. So that's essentially what would happen. You know, there was a fake alliance created with Lament. Now, at the time, I was sadly not a part of this joke, so I was... Lament kept IMing me, saying, what's going on? This isn't me. And I was like, I know it's you. And I was like, I'm going to call the cops or something. And it was just... It was bad. And we kept trying to, like, hack into his account and crazy stuff like that. It was definitely an active time for all of us. So, March 31st, Lament became an admin and banned Heike, which definitely, again, caused insane havoc. But the admins and mods pretended that they could not use their control panel, so essentially Lament had gained access to the form, which once you look back on it, just is so ridiculous, and like, how would that even happen?
And yet we fell for it anyway.
We completely fell for it, you know.
And, it was in the hype. It was, everyone was building up to this thing. Like, you know, chaos was just going through the forums, and you just sort of got swept away with it.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. I mean, and then Shanjo, amongst many other members, actually joined Lament's fake alliance for whatever reason, I guess. Not that he was a good member to begin with, but... All right, then April Fool's Day. This is when it really started to get insane. Hi, I'm Controversy, which was, of course, Gray Jinjo. Pretended, God, I really wish we had him on this week, it would really help. But he pretended that Lament, which was, again, himself, so this must have been very odd, actually, that yourself is making an admin out of somebody else that's also you. Meh. Anyway, he made Hi, I'm Controversy an admin and got rid of Lament. Everyone was really happy, and then he decided to expose the fake stop and swap form. Once this happened, essentially, you know, there were a bunch of threads in there. Gold, I believe, made music to go along with the Found Fungus Forest level. All this stuff. It seemed very legitimate at the time. And pretty much most people believed it. They believed that Stop and Swap was found, and this was the real thread. Not everybody did, but essentially anybody else that did believe it jumped on them and made them feel stupid. And to make this more believable, I believe Ice made the Banjo-Kazooie DS obligatory fake article, which everyone thought was the real April Fool's joke. You know, that happened for about a day. And then Gray got our good old friend Phantom. God rest in peace, that great man. He said that he was Lament, hacking the whole thing at the time. Everyone got mad at Poto. Great banned him. You know, there's just a lot of stuff going on there. And Gray posted the massive thread that everything was just this massive joke. Everything that's happened in the past week wasn't real. And essentially, that's it. That whole thing was fake. some of us were very pissed, actually. Because this thing we'd spent so much time dealing with was all over. But that is certainly the standard for Weirwitch Project pranks. Next year was just as interesting, really, because it wasn't a staff-led thing, essentially. It was the cool boy man who was apparently pissed at everybody because they were stupid. That's pretty much the gist of his idea. He created 6 extra eggs in a new key, I believe, right?
Yep.
And he put it in...
Okay.
What's that?
Was there a new key? I don't remember being a new key.
The new key came, like, near the end.
Right. Oh, I must have just lost it in the hype.
Yeah, and essentially he said that this whole thing was hidden before, but now he's found it. And it was very elaborate, you know. He went through, and of course, because it's Cool Boy Man, and he did that stuff, he went through, edited the, what do you call it? He went through and created fake screenshots and all this thing. Created video, I believe.
Yep.
It was very widely believed until all of a sudden on April Fool's Day, he's like, just kidding, it's a joke. Also, I hate everybody. And he left. Doesn't everybody leave at one point? And they always come back. I believe he's back on the forums as well.
Yeah, he's back. And it's good to have him back, too, because he's contributing to the... Well, to the theories that are there?
Yes, the wonderful theories.
One of the things I think was really great about this one was Rare had actually rigged Jetpack Refueled screenshots that had the names Cool Man Boy and Orange Egg.
Right, yeah. So everyone said, oh my god, this is the proof right here. I don't know, this one it was kind of just, I guess because I didn't really go on the Banjo board much, but I saw it and I was like, okay. Whatever. But, yeah, it was definitely an interesting one, although I guess his purpose was a little more nefarious. 2008. This was... The problem is, after 2006, people are very skeptical. So now, I mean, this is the problem. We'll talk about this year's, but people essentially will not believe anything that we do anymore. So it's very tough to come up with a legitimate, you know... A legitimate prank that actually tricks people. So it was a fake Stop and Swap website. Do you remember what the URL was? Was it stopandswap.com?
I think so.
Yeah, I think it was. I think that was it. And essentially, you know, it was saying coming soon, the answer, whatever. People really didn't believe it from the beginning. And once you did a whois and found that it was registered to the Weirwitch Project, yeah, that one fell apart rather quickly. This year, however, was less of a prank and more of a, well, more of insanity. Essentially, late the night before, at least for us in the United States, the, you know, forums were shut down for a little bit, and every single member was promoted to either a moderator or an administrator, except for us mods, who, of course, were demoted. Yeah, this year it was definitely interesting. There was a fake subboard called Staff Members Only that opened. And people definitely had a good time in there. Except for the random people that somehow got out of their designated board and started causing havoc. But they were dealt with, if you know what I mean. The other thing was, of course, we had another news article posted about the announcement of Banjo-Kazooie's Scrabble. I'm really angry that that was fake, because I would have been very excited about that one. Not joking, either. It's kind of sad. Scrabble's a good time. Yeah.
I don't think I would have been very interested in it, to be honest.
Oh, that's lame. Well, yeah. I guess I like the boring games, in theory. Peggle, Uno Rush, these are the games that I enjoy. Scrabble.
Well, those are the games that you can go to time and time again, you know, when you're bored. That's why they call them board games.
Yes. I don't think that's why, but okay.
That's my version.
Yeah, that works. Yeah, so that's a brief history of the Weirwitch Project April Fool's jokes. Okay, we're going to move on to our another segment this week. It's our email segment. So we urge you all to send an email to podcast@rarewitchproject.com. You might get it read here. And then we have a special trophy for you if you do so, so that'd be nice. Our email this week is from Skyne99. He said, "Hey guys, Skyne99 here. Much better episode this time around. Thank you very much. Hopefully this one is even better." He said, "Anyways, I'm wondering if you guys could talk about what the RWP of old was like. How did the site start and all? I know the Sandcastle codes and Stop and Swap has something to do with it, but I know nothing else."
Well, the Rare Witch Project was founded in April of 2000 by Ice Mario. This was before everyone was on the scene, including Subdrag. And it started off just basically a fan site where you saw pictures of upcoming Banjo-Tooie and sound samples, I suppose that you'd call them. And now there was a couple of versions of the forums that came and went. They were pretty quick from what I hear. That was before I even joined. You guys know about any other forums before the Snitz forums?
I don't. I mean, I think there was just like a weird old Z board thing. I joined in December 2000, so I was not here for that.
I had heard about, I think there were, yeah, there was like one forum before Snitz, but I joined in June 2001, so that was like a long time before I joined.
Am I now, alright, I know this sounds like a whole ego trip, I think I'm now the oldest, like, member that's still there, aside from, like, Ice.
I think you might be. I know that Legendary Banjo Eggs was like a month older than you.
Yeah. I don't think he would never let us forget that. Yeah. Alright. Yeah, so, I mean, essentially, that's how it started. It was just a simple fan site, and then they discovered the Sandcastle codes, and I think pretty much that's when it started taking off, right?
That's what got me to the site.
Yeah, same. Well, actually, no. I was searching for cheat codes, and I was like, oh, what's this Rare Witch Project thing? I guess I'll join. And I was 9.
A long time ago now.
I was 11. Yeah, so I was pretty dumb. It was terrible.
Yeah. We were all dumb. It was bad. I mean, you go back and look at the old posts. I don't know if you guys remember the URL for the older form.
It's down now.
Oh, it's down
now? Oh, that sucks.
We gotta get on ISIS about that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, that'd be fun to pull up some old posts. You should read them on the podcast.
Yeah, all right. Ice, you're listening to this. Go do that now. It was really interesting to go see our horrible posts.
Some of that was really embarrassing.
For people who had an account then, you can still post there now.
Yeah, that's always interesting. So there's like 5 posters there. It's like pretty much us. And then like randomly we just made a new thread and it's like, hey, sup? Yeah, so pretty much that's what happened. I mean, it was Ice and Sub found it, and they posted the codes online after a while, before it was only for GameShark, and that was pretty much it. I mean, after that, it took off. There were 3 forum versions. There was the Snitz, the UBB, and now the V-Bulletin, which has been going for, 5 years now? It's been a while.
Is it 6 in June or July?
Yeah, it might be. But I don't know about you guys, but when the UBB came around, I wasn't active at all. I was much more active in the Snitz and then obviously the V-Bulletin, but I didn't post much.
I was pretty active during the second incarnation.
Yeah. I guess it was just me then. But essentially it was Stop and Swap that pushed the Rare Witch Project, and then after that, you know, the community pretty much got together and decided Stop and Swap doesn't exist anymore, but we all know each other now. And that's essentially what happened, I mean.
Yeah, it was when the UBB went offline, and it was off for nearly a year or so, wasn't it?
Yeah, and there was a couple forums that popped up to replace it, pretty much. I forget, what was the big one? It was Banjo Fellas Forum. I can't remember what it was called.
Banjo Fellas, Bregal Aviary, I think.
There was another one, though, that, I mean, there were a lot, because a lot of people decided, I'm going to take over, and I had the Kazooie database, which was made in GeoCities. These are just so many good memories. I'm glad we're talking about them. So yeah, that's essentially how we got started, and now we're just moving forward again. It's awesome.
Do we want to address the last question? Also, do you guys wear pants while doing the podcast?
I can answer that question, but I don't know if you want to hear the answer.
The answer is maybe.
It's possible.
It's a definitely possible maybe.
Yes. All right, guys, that's going to do it for us this week.
Congratulating Big Sheep at all?
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me. I keep trying to end this show, but I can't.
No.
Big Sheep, rare employee and Rare Witch Project member, got married. So, you know, there's some pictures up on his blog. Blue hair guy. That's essentially it. Except that he's offering... I guess someone else want to explain this, someone that cares about Viva Pinata.
As I'm sure you're all aware, there's a famous Pinata achievement in Trouble in Paradise.
Of course.
Of course. And you can obtain that by getting a Pinata sent to you from a Rare employee or someone who's already had one sent to him, a viral achievement. And to celebrate his wedding on April Fool's Day, which is, by the way, the best day to get married. He's giving out free goobars to people who post their gamer tag in the topic in the Viva Pinata forum.
What's a pinata called again?
Goobars.
What was that?
Are you just making fun of me now?
Kind of, just a little bit.
Goobar.
Yeah. Yes. That's great, though. It definitely, congratulations to him. If you're wondering, he's a Viva Pinata software engineer. Now, Bottles, what were you saying about Trophy Thomas before? I thought that was really interesting.
The Trophy Thomas character in Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts is based on Big Sheep.
Yes. Which is really cool. Oh, wow. So it has his... I'm on his site, and... You know, I'm seeing his Twitter feed, downloading the Rare Witch Project's first podcast. So apparently he's a listener.
Hopefully we don't disappoint him then.
Yeah, I guess now I feel bad because of how we've talked about his game, but oh well. Okay, well, congratulations, Big Sheep. Well, that's going to be it for this week, guys. I'd like to thank Larry, Kelvin, and Aaron for joining me today. Please send your questions, comments, and concerns to our email address, podcast@rarewitchproject.com. If we read your email on the show, you'll get a Forms trophy that can only be won by having your email read on our show. If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe and review it on iTunes. Everything helps. And as always, leave us comments in the forums. This recording may not be redistributed or broadcast without the express written consent of the Rare Witch Project and is intended for private use only. Copyright 2009. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week. Actually, I'm going to get something to drink really quick. We are back.
I hate the new age, guys. I'm a chauvinist. I live on beer and pies. Tried to tell you, but you look at me like maybe I'm an angel underneath. Haven't brushed me teeth. Yesterday I lied. but all me mates gave me a real good alibi. Thanks, guys. I really went out drinking, I told you, I was at work. Don't ask me for commitment, cause it's something I will shirk. I'm a bloke, I'm a knocker, and I really love your knockers. I'm a labourer by day, I'd piss up all me pay, watching footy on TV. Just feed me more VB, just pour my beer and get my smokes and go away.
Wow, that was an interesting drink of water I just had. What just happened?
That was very amazing.
There's very anti-Australian, like, undertone on this podcast from time to time.
Well, that's because I'm the odd one out. It's always, you know, easy to pick on the minorities.
Yeah. Damn blacks. What? Okay, moving on.